Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Every so often in our lives, things happen. Someone gets killed. Someone you love gets sick. They get cancer. They get some illness. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it, except suffer. Well, that's actually not true, because some people go searching for those answers. They've made movies about those people. And actually, we happen to have one of those people on the show today. His name is John Crowley. There was a movie around 2010 made about him. It starred Brendan Fraser and Harrison Ford. It was called Extraordinary Measures. John Crowley is on the line. He's also chairman and CEO of Amicus Therapeutics. And he did go searching for the answer to the problems that his two children's had. I think that it doesn't do it justice if I try and tell the story. Please tell the audience your story for a moment.
This journey for our family began over 20 years ago, back in March of 1998, when our then 15-month-old daughter, Megan, was diagnosed with a rare form of muscular dystrophy. And we were told on that day that our also then 7-year-old son, Patrick, had a 25% chance of having the disorder. And with Pompe disease, you know, it's a devastating muscle disease. It destroys the heart. It destroys skeletal muscle, breathing muscles. And we were told there was nothing that could be done, and the kids would live to be but a couple of years old and to go home and enjoy the time we had. As you'd imagine, this is devastating. There's no history of it in our family. And I think in one night, my wife Eileen and I went through all the emotions, the shock, the grief, the denial, and really settled that night on determination. I think for us, it was first determination to learn everything we could about this disease and research, and then very quickly to settle on trying to do something to change the course of that prognosis, and really set us into the whole world of science and medicine, for which I was wholly unprepared.
Right.
And that's kind of what started the journey.
Well, I mean, it's an inspiring entrepreneurial journey because you made good on it. And that's what we'll talk about today. And maybe you can share some of what you learned along the way, because at the end of the day, I believe you were going to school to become an attorney, and you were, you know, or maybe you were you already an attorney? I mean, that's
I'd gotten a law degree from Notre Dame in 1992 and practiced for a few years and then went off and got a business degree, an MBA. And it was only a year, less than a year after I finished my MBA that we got Megan's diagnosis. So all of a sudden I had a great education, a lot of student loans, and, you know, but we had a future. And then all of a sudden this disease came in the middle of that. And, you know, they say, you know, we plan and God laughs. But
right.
I have to tell you, this is kind of one of those things where, wait a second, this isn't supposed to happen to us. These things happen to other people. And you know what? Nature, we've learned, is not cruel, just brutally random.
Yeah.
And so life ends up being turned upside down very quickly.
Mm. Where were you in your career at that point when you had to like pull the parachute cord and go, guess what? I'm done. I'm going another direction. I mean, were you successful yet? Or you were struggling. It sounded like you had, like you said, you know, debt for school and all the rest.
Oh, we were just starting out. We went from that diagnosis in March of 98. And over the course of that next year, first Megan and then Patrick got very sick and weak and needed a feeding tube and then a breathing tube and a ventilator to breathe. So inside of the course of 12 months, we went from two beautiful, healthy little children to two beautiful little children with profound medical and special needs, full-time nursing. And I was just, right out of business school, I was a consultant for about a year in a management consulting firm out on the West Coast. Mm. But then we moved back to New Jersey to be close to doctors and family and friends. And because I got a very good job, a stable job at Bristol-Myers Squibb in marketing. Mm. So I was starting off in a great career, but you know, I was quite junior. And by 2000, we finally decided that, you know what, we were told the kids' time was running out. You know, we realize we've got to beat the clock as much as we've got to beat this mistake of nature.
Speaking of the clock, hold tight. I want to hear the rest of this story. The movie came out in 2010. Extraordinary Measures. All of us now need to go see this movie because John Crowley is on the line with us. We're going to hear the rest of his story, the entrepreneur part of it. We can learn together from John. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Special guest today, John Crowley, founder and CEO of Amicus Therapeutics in 1998. His two children were diagnosed with Pompe disease, and it's a severe and often fatal neuromuscular disorder, and this changed John and his wife's lives. They became entrepreneurs very quickly and started the search for the answers. John, maybe you could tell us a little bit about, first of all, Amicus Therapeutics. Tell us where you are today. I'm just curious, and then we'll go back and kind of reverse engineer it and tell us how you got to this point. But tell us about Amicus Therapeutics.
Sure. So Amicus is our second biotech company. After we had developed a medicine, the first medicine that helped save our children's lives, we then kind of went back to the drawing board in 2005, realized that we need to make even better medicines for Pompe and for a whole number of rare genetic diseases. So we launched Amicus in 2005, and today that's now more than a 500-person company. We've got operations in 27 countries and about a $2.5 billion market valuation, and most importantly, some tremendous science making medicines for people, mostly children, living with rare fatal genetic disorders.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I mean, first of all, let me just say thank you for continuing the journey, and because you still live with it today. Maybe you can tell the folks how your children are today, because you said 20 years later. They're still alive? I'll let you tell
the
story.
They are alive and thriving. We are so very blessed. I go back to that day, that dark Friday the 13th in March 98, when we were told they had Pompe and that they wouldn't live to be but a couple of years old. And with the work of literally hundreds of people to develop a medicine and now a second-generation medicine, the kids are now, Megan is 21, Patrick is 20 years old. Patrick lives with us at home. He finished high school, and he's in a post-training program at high school. Both of them still in wheelchairs and, you know, still living with the consequences of a muscle disease, but it never affects the mind. Pompe never affects the mind. They're incredibly bright, precocious, and my 21-year-old daughter, Megan, is a senior out in South Bend, Indiana at the University of Notre Dame, and Megan will graduate in May on time with a double major and likely going to graduate school to become a social worker. So we couldn't be more proud of both of them.
That's so awesome. And, you know, I was talking to you before the show for a moment. I just interviewed Lou Holtz, obviously famous from Notre Dame.
Oh, what a great guy.
Oh, my gosh. Changed my life. I listened to one.
Yeah, such a spirit.
You know, one of his talks, and I went, that man's right. And that's why I think it's important that we do these kinds of shows and not just always talk about business, because you know what? So much of what we do in our lives is derived from how we feel in our hearts and how we are driven forward by, you know, the purpose behind why we do what we're doing. Like you, look what you're doing. And if it wasn't for your heart and your family and all of these things, it wasn't what you wanted to do. It was what you had to do. And so I love that. I love that about this story. Now, let us go back to here you are, young father, two young children. You have to make some massive changes in your life. Can you remember the thoughts you had, the thought process of, I don't care what it's going to take, I'm going to find this cure, or I'm going to try my best, or where were you in your head at that moment in time?
Yeah, you know, it was at the time, it seemed like a gut-wrenching decision to leave a secure job at Bristol Myers, the pay, the health benefits for our two fragile kids. But more than anything, I tend to be more analytical and laid out all the pros and cons and all of that. And my wife and I, just one night over dinner, she said, you know what, put aside all of that and what's in your heart and what do you think you need to do? And then I didn't even talk. I just kind of looked at her and she looked at me and said, then just do it. For Eileen and I together, I think, Alan, we just didn't want to look back years later and whatever course the disease would have taken.
Right.
We didn't want to look back and wished we had done something else or tried harder. And at that point, we had nothing else to lose. So we took a great, great risk and a chance. All entrepreneurs are risk takers by their nature.
That's right.
I'm not. I'm not necessarily a risk taker by my nature, but I...
You became one!
I had to become one because it meant everything in the world to us.
That's right. All right, hang tight. One more commercial, and then we're going to come back.
All right.
Now we're going to... And thank you for sharing that story. It's a beautiful story, and it's at a beautiful point right now that your children are doing well and you're doing well. And now we're going to go and have you become the professor and do some teaching for us entrepreneurs that find ourselves in these difficult places. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So you know John Crowley now, founder and CEO of Amicus Therapeutics, and that is AmicusRx.com, AmicusRx.com on the web. And now the question is, as an entrepreneur, I always like to find out some of the biggest lessons you've learned and faced as a business owner, being an entrepreneur. And because, you know, I mean, here you are. You're like, you know, you could probably change the direction of your life now that, you know, you've got things kind of going, but you're still going along. I mean, you've gone from, you know, a little startup all the way to a publicly held company. But those lessons, those life lessons that can help others, what were they? Dig deep for me, John.
I can't separate. I used to say I wear different hats as an entrepreneur or a father or a husband. You know what? It's all one hat.
Right.
We bring all those experiences to it. One thing I learned, too, and we started the second company, Amicus. You know, the first one, Novozyme, was start to finish 18 months. We sold it to a big biotech, brought us our first medicine. When it came time to put another biotech company together, I realized this is really going to be a marathon. For us to come up with maybe better medicines in Pompeii, but realize, you know, there's 7,000 rare diseases
right.
that affect just in the United States, 30 million people, and that is more than a career's worth of work. So I wanted to build something that would last. And to do that, what we started with was just thinking. We went through a long exercise that I just called our dreaming project. And that was, what does this look like in 5, 10, 20 years? And boy, we had a big vision. My wife likes to remind me there's a fine line, dear, between delusions of grandeur and vision, and I hope we're on the right side of that line.
Right.
But we laid it out, and we wanted a company that would be a global company with the best science in the world going after dozens and dozens of these rare diseases to save lives. That's a big vision. And then we just laid out, what are the barriers to doing that? There are enormous barriers. Not to mention the, you know, the hundreds of millions of dollars you've got to raise, the hiring, all the things that go into building a
right.
great business. But we just laid those out and we came up with a plan. Now, you know, science, regulatory reviews, all of that, taken capital markets we had to manage during the great financial crisis, all of that. And you get a lot of new barriers thrown up. But stick to that vision. And that's what we stuck to. And we're finally at that inflection point. Having medicines approved now around the world, you know, crossing that 500 employee mark, having some of the greatest science in the world now under our roof, we're at that inflection point where we've built a really good company and we're on the verge of building a great one, but it's the same vision that we started with in 2005.
You know, it's so interesting. I'm looking here. There's The Gita Anand book, The Cure, How a Father Raised 100 Million and Bucked the Medical Establishment. And then you wrote a book, Chasing Miracles. So not only, you know, you're having to run a company, you're writing books, you're raising a family, you're having to, you know, a long time ago, of course, now 20 years, you had to learn how to be an entrepreneur from kind of that, you know, other mentality of going to school and you have all the laws and books and everything's written down and you know exactly how to do as long as you follow the rules to being an entrepreneur where you got to make the rules and you got to break some of those rules because it's a trial and error. And it's just so interesting. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you really had to figure it out. And
I did.
It's wild, man. So, but here's my one question for you.
Go ahead.
Out of all that, here you are, you're a businessman. Did you ever have times where you were two-headed about it? In other words, the one head, you know, is like, I've got to do this. I'm saving my kids' lives. Then the other says, but you can't afford it. You know, there's that internal fight that goes on. How do you deal with that two-headedness?
Oh, there are many times I you know, thought, you know what, the science is too hard. I'm losing time that I could spend with my kids that could be very limited. Mm. I'm running out of money. There's people smarter than me to do that. There's a thousand reasons to give it up. And to me, one of the great lessons is you've got to persist. Literally, Alan, my first day in biotech, we started that tiny little company. My mom sent me a nice encouraging note, and she put a little brass plaque in it. It's actually a bookmark. And it's a quote from Winston Churchill, and it just says, never, never, never quit. And I took that bookmark and I tucked it in a photograph of our family on my desk, the only picture I had on decorating my office at the time. And I still have that picture and I still have that little plaque on my desk.
That's awesome.
And boy, that's served us well as a team, as a company over the years. That notion of persistence and never quitting is essential for any biotech. But in biotech, you have to have it because it's a crazy business. You know, no matter how much money we raise, we could build the greatest research facilities, hire Nobel Prize winners. Almost everything we try technologically, it doesn't work.
Right.
But when it does, I still think it's the best job you can have. But boy, you've got to persist.
Well, you do. Never, never, never quit. And that is the motto of very many entrepreneurs. John Crowley, the book that he wrote is Chasing Miracles, The Crowley Family Journey of Strength, Hope, and Joy. Also, I'm going to go and get the movie. It was made in 2010, Extraordinary Measures, starring Brendan Fraser and Harrison Ford. You can find out more about John Crowley, president, founder and CEO of Amicus Therapeutics at AmicusRx. That's AmicusRx.com. John, thanks for sharing with us, man. I can't wait to see this movie.
Really, Alan, thank you so much, and good luck to all those inspiring entrepreneurs out there.
Excellent.
You know, you don't have to change the world, but you can change a little corner of the world that may mean the whole world to you.
That's
so
exactly
good luck.
Right.
God bless.
Beautiful. God bless you, man. All right, we're going to take a little break and be back with more here on Entrepreneur Weekly. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our next guest used his military career, what he learned along the way, to start his company, Military by Owner. Well, any of you that have been in the military know that you move around a little bit. I mean, and if you've never been in the military, you probably know somebody that says, oh, I was a military brat. We moved every couple of years. We lived all over the world. Well, what if you bought a house and you need to get rid of it and you need to find another house at the next location? Well, Dave Grand, he is the guy who can do that. MilitaryByOwner.com is his website today. But Dave, I understand when you got started around, what, the year 2000 with your wife, well, the social media stuff wasn't there. The internet was new. And you really had to do things kind of the old-fashioned way, which is really, that's really a good way to start anyway, because you could add all these great digital assets along the way, and your life is probably a whole lot easier today. But how did you get started? Maybe give your story a little bit.
Well, first off, Military By Owner is a website that advertises homes for sale and homes for rent around all the military bases in the U.S. And we started it, like you said, in around 2000, when we were in the middle of a permanent change of station move ourselves. I was a Marine at the time, and we went home for Christmas on leave. And I remember talking to my dad saying, you know, boy, I hope we don't lose money on this house that we just bought. And this was in Northern Virginia. And he said, hey, doesn't the military have something that to hook you guys up to make it a little easier with that transition from, you know, buying or selling or renting or whatever you might be doing? And I said, well, I really don't know. I've never heard of anything. You know, and kind of retrospect, you know, what we used to see was every base housing office around every military base usually had a pegboard with like 3x5 cards,
right,
where somebody
it.
Might advertise their home or something like that. So we searched on AOL, because AOL was pretty much it, except for some of the very early basic browsers that didn't really help you out that much. And we didn't find anything. We asked around a little bit. Nobody really gave us any good feedback. So we drove down to Best Buy in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and we bought Microsoft Front Page, a little what you see is what you get type you know, website builder.
Right.
And we built the website that weekend.
That's awesome.
And it was pretty basic, you know. I mean, like a Marine with crayons, you know, just trying to draw something up there. So we did that, you know, but then you got to figure out, oh, how do you, what do you do now? I mean, you know, web hosting was a little bit of a different word back then. And so, okay, we got to find a web host. Now we got to figure out how to market it. And, you know, so just like I would imagine, just like anything else, you know, you just kind of take one little piece at a time and you figure it out and you move forward.
Right, right. Well, you know what's great about this story is that necessity was the mother of invention for you guys. And, but, you know, I mean, if you think about it, those were the days when you were considered a pioneer in this stuff, right? Because it's like, you know, you couldn't just, you know, go online and watch, you know, a YouTube video on how to do a website like you can today. I mean, my kids, I watch them. Literally, it's so funny. My daughter got married 3 years ago, and my son had never worn a tuxedo. And part of the wedding video is my son-in-law and my son trying to figure out how to put, you know, tuxedo to tie the bow tie and put the little buttons on. Today, if you want to learn something, you go to YouTube and you just type it in or Google it, and there'll be a video to show you how to do all this stuff. I mean, you literally had to learn trial and error and figure out everything. And so bring us forward. Where are you today? MilitaryByOwner.com.
Sure. Well, you know, we've been in business for almost 19 years, and, you know, we're working about 325 markets across the country.
Wow.
And essentially, you know, we're continuing to try to reduce that element of stress that military families deal with when they're moving from place to place. Clearly now, everyone, you know, kind of in that relocation market, whether you're military or, you know, a corporate relocation, you have a lot more choices now than you did back then. However, we're, you know, kind of steadfast. We're working the military niche. Most of our content and everything is focused on those little kind of nuances that apply to a military move that, you know, a lot of things are very similar to anybody moving. But, you know, during a military move, you know, you've got some other things to think about, because you have not only the choice of whether you're going to buy or rent, but you also have the potential where you could live on base. And depending on where you're going, you kind of want to get a feel for what the best decision for you would be. In our case, you know, what we used to kind of decide, it was pretty simple. If I was going to be deployed all the time, we usually lived on base. If I was going to be in a job where I wasn't deploying all the time, then we would either try to go out in a local community and rent a house or buy a house, depending on what was the smartest financial move.
Right.
You know, so multiply that times hundreds of thousands of people moving all the time in the military from base to base, and you know, all those decisions are just continually being made.
Yep. I notice I've got some little notes here. It says, if you're the company's first employee, fire yourself quick. What do you mean by that?
I think everybody struggles with that when you're starting a business. And, you know, and my path was not, you know, what makes the news all the time, where you hear about these guys looking for investors and they're trying to ramp up these companies fast and take them to IPO. We grew our company organically, meaning that we started off with no debt. Our goal was never to have any debt, and we were just going to grow it with the profits from the company. And when you do that, you run the risk of running into just what the human body can tolerate, you know, and the human body can only stay up so long, and the mind can only function at a certain level, much less than your body can stay awake, you know, so you have to kind of bite the bullet and realize that, no, you can't do everything, and you need to hire people, and probably if you don't get that figured out pretty quickly, you've really put a ceiling on what your business is ever going to attain. And that may be okay for some people, but, you know, I think that it's a trap that you kind of fall into, and that you have to just kind of create the systems and hire the people to work those systems so that you can grow.
Yeah.
And you're doing your customers a benefit, and you're doing yourself a benefit at the same time.
Yep. All right, hold tight. We're going to take a little break and come back, talk a little bit more with David Gran. He is the president of MilitaryByOwner.com. And we'll learn some more of the secret sauce of what it's taken for him to become a success. Maybe you can learn from some of these lessons. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, don't forget, check out our website, entrepreneur.com. Pick up our magazine on newsstands everywhere. And, of course, if you want to listen to more of this radio show and these stories of inspiration, how you can make it, you know what they say, if I can do it, anybody can do it. So it's kind of one of those things. As much as you want to do it, just, you know what, be passionate about it and go do it. This filling a niche market is something that David Gran has done. He's the president and co-founder with his wife of MilitaryByOwner.com. And when you got started, you know, this is before the internet was the way it is today. I mean, we live in a world of the internet, what is a connected world. But I think that perhaps, David, that gave you a little bit of a different connection to your customers, because you had to have a little more face-to-face contact, where today, you know, some of these websites, there's no phone number. There's no way to connect with anybody. The website is the thing. You know what I mean? It's not a person. It's a thing. And if you want a product or service, you deal with the thing to get what you want. And if you run into a snag, well, you know, you send an email and you get some email back from God knows where. It could be from India, it could be from America. You don't know, because it's just, you know, the form emails that they send out. We're sorry you're having problems. Please describe them in greater detail. But you actually have a niche where, by the way, thank you for your service. You were in the Marine Corps. You could speak the language, and it was wise for you to speak the language and talk the talk and actually have face-to-face communications. Maybe you could talk about how you've evolved that and how that got started for you.
When we started the website, our business, we wanted it to be, you know, more than a website.
Right.
So, and what you were just talking about, you know, you're dealing with a company and then you got the website and you can't get anybody on the phone and they don't have a live chat and you don't know how long it's going to take for them to respond to an email.
Right.
I mean, for me, that's really frustrating.
Yeah.
And so we kind of wanted to, you know, number one, have good customer service, but we also wanted to kind of have a personality, and we wanted to kind of be representative of the people that we were trying to help. So we started hiring military spouses, and I'm sure many people know this, but probably a lot don't, is that when a family is moving from base to base, it's really tough for a military spouse to have any type of career continuity. You know, so you know, that's one of the things that we tried to do was, you know, initially hire military spouses, because what we could really then translate that customer service into would be, we understand our target market because we are our target market.
Exactly. It's brilliant.
You know? So, you know, so when somebody calls in and they're, you know, and a lot of the questions, you know, they may be technical questions or things like that. They're not necessarily germane to a military move, but they're talking to somebody who themselves have probably had 5, 6, 7, 10 military moves themselves.
Right.
You know, so they can build that rapport up almost immediately, you know, and there's a little bit of trust and that goes along with that. You know, so, you know, it really worked out for us, and we've continued that for, you know, since almost our inception. And, you know, that translated into a lot of other benefits for us as well. Is you're thinking, you know, we're a relatively small company, but by continuing to be able to help those military spouses with that kind of career continuity when they move from base to base, that also kind of helped us as well, because we're not retraining people. Our level of expertise and experience is continuing to grow. And it's almost like having an all-star team of customer service reps that not only know the business, but they know the target market, they know the demographic. I mean, I've heard them on the phone talking to people. It has nothing to do with our business, but they're just saying, well, have you tried this? Have you gone there? Have you checked this out? You know, and I'm like, okay, that's great, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a story real quick. I have a brand new neighbor across the street, and like yourself, he's ex-Marine. And I have a kid that's lived with us, you know, he grew up with us. He's been with me for the last 10 years, since he was about 10 years old. And then he joined the military and became a Ranger. They were out on some sort of a nighttime mission, and they were up all night long. And he got like 5 minutes to take just a little nap, you know, and laid down, and he got bit by a bunch of fire ants. He found out that he's horribly allergic to fire ants and stinging insects. Guess what? He's out of the military. And so all of a sudden, he had this tremendous stress that he went through in his life to become an Army Ranger. I mean, it's his special forces, right? And the next thing you know, the tiniest little thing takes him out of the military. They're like, sorry, you can't be special forces and, you know, be allergic to stinging insects. So he got a little PTSD, he's out, he's back living with us again. The next thing you know, next door neighbor moves in, ex-military, helps him with all kinds of problems. This is such a huge thing that you guys are doing. And maybe, you know, I mean, it was a happenstance, or you, you know, maybe it was on purpose that you realized this would be brilliant to have these folks helping each other. But man, speaking the language and being able to have empathy for what somebody's going through is such an asset to businesses like David Grand's Military by Owner. When we come back, David, I'm going to ask you to share some more of the secret sauce of your success. And I love stories like this. To me, this is just pure brilliance. An entrepreneur doing what they do best, solving problems with heart and soul. We'll be right back. Entrepreneur Weekly.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
We take this moment to salute David Grand for his time in the Marine Corps. Thank him for his service to our country and also his continued service to the servicemen and women who are trying to make a move. One of the most stressful times outside of deployments is having to move your family, sell a home or rent or whatever you got to do. You got to keep your family out of harm's way. You want to know they're in a safe place. And David and his wife started Military by Owner. And David, now it's your turn to, you know, maybe talk about some of the pillars of structure that you put into place to help you have a successful company today. Go for it.
First thing I got to correct you is that your neighbor is not an ex-Marine. He is a Marine.
Yes,
so
that's
make
right.
sure to go say happy birthday to him on 10 November every year.
I will.
You know, but thinking about the Marine Corps, you know, one of the most important things I think I learned, and it's kind of a strange thought, though, it's that it's easier to get forgiveness than permission sometimes. You know, so when you apply that to business, you know, you can kind of throw like a tongue-in-cheek thought out there, like ready, shoot, aim. And obviously you don't really mean that specifically, but what it does mean is that you can't just keep working on something before you go for it. I mean, if you have an idea or you have another segment of your business that you think is got a good chance, you know, get it so it's just good enough. Launch it and let the market tell you whether it's good or not and what needs to be changed. Don't try to figure it out yourself, because most of the time you're going to be wrong. Just test your idea on the market. Let the market give you the grade. And, you know, for veterans out there, the veteran entrepreneur community is so huge right now and so active, and there's so much help out there for you. You know, if you have an idea, just tap right into it, and you're going to have the best chance, that probably more support than you know what to do with.
Yeah, and you know what? I do that a lot right here on this show, because that's how I want to help honor what you folks have done and do every day, is to help you guys any way I can with this Entrepreneur Weekly radio show. And so, again, thank you. I think this is a great service. All right. I'm following you. Keep going.
I think that, you know, just like our military careers, you know, we're moving from one job to the next. We may have the same, you know, occupational specialty. In my case, the last 18 years or so, I was an intelligence officer. But, you know, one thing, whenever you go to a new job, it's just a little bit different. You don't really know how to do it. And it's the same thing with running a business. Things come up, you don't really know how to handle it. You figure it out and you press forward. You don't let anything slow you down. And obviously you can't do that without people. And, you know, and just like in the military, you know, one good way to look at everything you do is, you know, you try to make your subordinates look good and you try to make your boss look good. And, you know, if you think of kind of just your whole life like that, where you're trying to be there for your employees, your managers, and you're trying to make sure that they have everything they need to do the job and whatever systems you set up for them, you know, that's your whole focus in life, you know, kind of don't focus on yourself. Focus both up and down, and, you know, everything will work out.
Yeah. United we stand, in essence, right?
Yeah. Now, there are a couple tools that I've kind of really come to like, and probably a lot of you have read Michael Gerber's E-Myth, you know, basically building systems. And there's a lot to be said for managing systems and not people. And if you build a system, you don't necessarily need to focus on managing an individual. You just hold that individual accountable to the system. And if the system's screwed up, you just modify the system. You know, so I think that a lot of us, you know, especially smaller companies, will get tied up into the fact that we think we could do everything. We kind of talked about that a little earlier.
Right.
But by generating those systems, you know, I kind of think that's helped us a lot as far as just kind of being able to be organized and move forward.
Yep.
You know, and you're kind of tied that to a structured military, you know, organization. Well, there's all kinds of tactics, techniques, and procedures in the military, and a business system is very similar to that.
Yep. Well, listen, we have run to the end of the show here. I just want to say again, thank you, David, for your service, and thank you for what you do for the folks in the military, that they have enough going on to stress out about one more thing. And if you guys out there in radio land or podcast land know somebody that's in the military and need a little help moving, militarybyowner.com on the web. And I happen to have a niece that just joined at 32 years old. And yes, and so it's in my family as well. My father is a veteran of a foreign war because he was from England. David Grand, thank you very much for everything you've done and what you do. Thank you, brother.
Hey, and thanks for having me.
All right. That's about it for this week on Entrepreneur Weekly. We hope that you've learned a little something today. If not, check out our website. There's a whole lot there. Entrepreneur.com.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.